right, Rob, since you are more educated than me and you look better than me, you want to
always
you
do you want to introduce our first guest for today, brother?
And I will attempt.
You speak French, no, fluently, so you should.
No, I don't speak no French, bro. But I'll try the first name.
Okay,
I ain't trying that last name, bro. She gonna have to help us out with that one.
Okay, go ahead, big bro.
I think she said Maribel.
Yes, and the last one.
I can't do that one, bro.
I ain't
even gonna try.
All right, Sister Maribel, how you doing today?
I ain't even gonna try.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an honor. Go ahead and say your name again for us.
My name is Maribel Omene.
Omene.
Yes.
Omene.
Yes. Okay.
And you're from what country?
I am from Cameroon.
Cameroon. Yeah. So you speak French?
I do speak French. My first language is Lamso and then English and French in that order.
Is Lamso, what did you call your first language?
Lamso.
He said, Rob, not so.
Salt.
Lamso.
Hey, I ain't even going to attempt no more. I'm done.
Is it like,
equally, like this idiot don't hear what I'm saying?
Is it for the nation or is it for your tribe?
It is for my tribe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I know we supposed to be asking you about your business and all that stuff.
Yes.
She like, I ain't come on here for all this now.
No, let's keep the questions coming.
You got to educate us, you know what I mean? Because
yes.
I think you are the first person that I have met from Cameroon.
Oh, that's well, that's cool. Now let's get to learn as much as possible about Cameroon then.
Yes. Let's learn about Cameroon. So
I know y'all some beautiful women over there in Cameroon.
Yes, Cameroon representing.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, y'all some beautiful women.
That's the kind. Just the continent. No matter where you at.
No matter where you at.
So
that again.
Tell us about your business and what you do at Motherland Cultural Connection.
We are a cultural company. We teach cultural competency through exciting hands-on experiences. And we have three main vehicles that we use. One of them is food. We teach people how to cook different African dishes from different African countries. We pair that with storytelling, poetry, and music at the end, live music. We also have our house concerts. There we focus mostly just on the music. And the goal there is to show Africa's diversity again by showcasing different genres and different styles of music. We pair that with spoken word and social studies about the countries represented.
Oh, wow. Wow. How long y'all been doing this?
We've been in business for a little bit over 1 year and 3 months.
Oh, okay. All right. The pandemic messed up everything. I got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. And I would have been, we've been hanging out with y'all a long time ago.
Yes.
A long time ago.
So, for people, this broadcast is airing in Orlando, Florida, Muskegon, Michigan, and of course, Benton Harbor, Michigan, and then played back on Comcast. How can people who are not in Grand Rapids connect with you guys?
We are online. You can go to our website. It's motherlandculturalconnections.com. If you are principally interested in a cooking experience, you can go to motherlandcookingexperience.com/X. But we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram as well as Motherland Cooking Experience or Motherland House Concerts. So whichever of these media you want to find us on, we will be there and we will be waiting to help you create your cool, unique, but culturally competent experience.
So you can teach us how to cook food.
Yes, we'll teach you how to cook food at least from two different countries. And that goes with learning about the ingredients You learn about the people, what that particular dish signifies, because a lot of those dishes mean something when they are used. But also we look all through our experiences, we look through the cultural lens and we address issues like what does time mean in my culture, especially if I'm cooking? You know, what does time mean to me? What does community mean? What does the food represent? And then we draw comparisons with the culture here, how it's done. Simple things like how do you taste your food, you know, and the explanations behind all of those things. And the whole essence of that is just to find commonality and celebrate our differences. We want to be able to destroy all of the stereotypes that people have of each other because of non-exposure, and then create this safe space where we can all come, just get to know a little more about each other, and then have fun in the process, because we strongly believe that we learn more when we're having fun.
Wow. Okay, Rod, I'll let you ask the next question because I got a bunch of them, bro. Go ahead.
I got a ton of them. You sure you want me to get started?
Go ahead, bro. I got a bunch.
I got a bunch too, but I'm gonna start off with a maybe a common one. What made you want to do this?
Oh, wow. That's a very, very important question. I came here to the United States about 9 years ago, and I came to study. So I finished my master's degree and I was having such a hard time having a job. I would interview for jobs and people would tell, they would doubt my experiences. Some people would tell me they couldn't really understand what I was saying, meaning that I wasn't speaking normal American English. That was their way of telling me I didn't belong. I tried so often and then really just got tired. And I so happened to be a singer as well. And I was having the same issues, trying to find venues where I could play. Most of the responses I got back were, we don't know if people would like your kind of music and all of that. And I frankly just got really, really frustrated. And as I was thinking about what else to do, I started noticing many other creatives, immigrant creatives like myself, who have moved to the US and it's a new home now. But unfortunately, it's just so hard to belong. You want to belong, you want to contribute to growing the economy, you want to be a part of the community, but it's just hard because there's so many doors blocking every person's way. So a lot of us just give up. It doesn't matter if you were successful on another continent. Once you come here, it's a different ballgame. You need to start getting to know people. And if you are an immigrant who doesn't know anybody, like the connections that are necessary for this to work, it becomes an impossible task. And so I decided that I would start a platform for myself, people like me and creatives that would include chefs, that would include poets, musicians, everybody who has painters as well. So we try to bring our experiences, feature all of these aspects. We do not only bring provide a platform for these artists to come and perform and earn extra income, but we also serve the community in bringing the community and our immigrant communities together in a place where we can all enjoy the things we love, which is one, food. Everybody wants to eat. Everybody has to eat. Everybody likes to eat. And then we have music and as well as education, because we strongly believe if it's just music, then people really don't learn. And if you're trying to expose a country or maybe teach about a country, it helps to cover as many aspects as possible so that people don't go back with only one thing in their minds and use that to define that whole country.
Wow. Well, okay. I know we only got 15, 20 minutes. Tell me this. What are some of the things that we do as Black people that kind of irritates African? What kind of questions do you get that make you like, no, dummy, that's not true. Quit falling for it. You can keep it real with us. We're in the judgment zone. You can keep it real with us. We're your brothers. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, it's questions. I've never really had this kind of question from, from an African-American sister or brother. Like, but I've had these questions from other people. Did you see a lion? How did you get here? does Cameroon have an airport? And did you grow up seeing tigers or lions in your yard? So something like that. And yeah, we get to answer those kind of questions. Or do you know, I have a friend in Zimbabwe whose name is Rebecca. Have you met Rebecca? I'm just like, no, I do not even know who Rebecca is, because I have never set my foot in Zimbabwe ever before. So it's those kind of questions that sometimes, before they used to be really, really irritating. And then afterwards, I just really understood that a lot of people just don't know what they don't know. So you have to answer with a lot of patience. But yeah, I do get those questions.
Now, do you have questions for African Americans that maybe you were a little timid or scared to ask? We your brothers. You can ask us. Let's put it out there. You want to ask us a question about African Americans?
No. There's this thing about being Black in America. A lot of us come from a different identity. Completely different experience, because we are mostly Black. We have different issues back on the continent, which would be tribalism and all of those things, which tribe you belong to and all of that. But being Black is just a unifying thing on the continent. We don't really take it too seriously but when we come to the United States, it's a different ball game. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, we have different groups of people who think that they've been here because of their work. And I strongly believe that is we're only here and thriving because of the work that all our African American brothers and sisters have put in to clear the way and open the doors for us. And so it's very important that we together change the narrative, but also get together so we can learn more about each other, you know, learn more about each other. There's I'll just give you an example for music generally. Black music in the US is more like really strong vocals, really strong solo performances and all of that. Back in Africa, it's more of a communal thing. And so we expect different things from the music we listen to. And so those are some of the little differences here. We get to clash with it because for us, we place value on how it comes together as a community without one or two people shining through. And the African American experience is more, yes, your vocals need to be on point. Everything needs to be, the soloist has to be on point. So I'm just giving an example. So for us, the question that I would like to ask would be, because I've tried to understand it, I've tried to read through, when did it become important to have like a main soloist leading, for example, in church, in a choir, for example? Has it always been that way or not? And those are the kind of questions I want to ask.
Oh yeah, okay. Pierre, I'll let you take this. You're a PK. That means preacher's kid, you know. So I'll let PA take this one. I wasn't nobody's preacher kid.
Because traditionally, Blacks wasn't allowed to perform in a lot of different places. Church was a way where you can show your talent without being criticized. And then it got to a point where, you know, you got a solo artist, you sound good, and you know, it just became a social norm. So I don't know a time in which in my life, you know, man, and I'm an OG, that we didn't have that in the church. But you're right, I don't know what started that period, but I just knew this church was the safe haven for Blacks. We Black entertainers that did perform, the Sammy Davis juniors of the world, that did Sam Cooke to the world, that did perform in white venues, a lot of times they had to come through the back door, and they were harassed, they was discriminated against. And so church was that spot to show your talent. But that's a great analogy, because I don't know if I've seen, but well, they do it now. They do it in Africa now. Because
yes, we are following
at lead singer. So
yeah, we are following, and it's so cool because a lot of them just growing up back on the continent. Our dream is always to be. We look at African Americans as our shining beacon, you know, because for us. Especially for me, people who think like me, the fact that you have lived among the oppressors, because they came to Africa and they called after slavery, they continued with colonization and all of that. There's still a lot of that attitude where you find some people looking at the white person as the ultimate, and you can see that through colorism and all of that, the things that we still have to fight through. For us, you all are heroes because we see you thriving and making it, you know, among the people who sometimes are there, just especially against the system, which has been rigged from the get-go. So we've always looked at you as the shining, because everybody wants to be a rapper. Everybody wants to be a footballer. Everybody wants to play basketball. Everybody wants to wear. It just goes across culturally, clothing, fashion. Everybody wants to do that. Yeah.
Wow. And I think a lot of times too, Africans who come to America should understand a lot of what we went through, our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors, mm-hmm. what they went through, as well as what we're still going through.
Yeah.
You understand? If that makes sense. I think a lot of times they don't understand that until they get here. And then mm-hmm. it's like a culture shock. Like,
yes.
What? I can't do this for what? Mm. I can't do that for what? I got to pay this tax for what? Because when we go to Ghana, we see a lot of people, you know, selling goods on the street. Mm. They're not paying no taxes on that.
Yep.
But they think that we have so much money because they don't understand the tax system. In my opinion, we're taxed with everything that we do. We go to the store, we got a percentage we got to pay on tax. We go to a hotel. A percentage of our hotel bill is part of tax. Yeah. The government is taking so much away from us that to me, and when I go to Ghana, they're so free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just the financial burden, but they're just so free to do and say how they want to do and say. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if we went out there with a bowl on our head with some fresh fruit selling it, I mean, you've been here for 9 years. If we tried that, the health department going to come down and say, well, where's your permit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to check your fruit to make sure it's a certain temperature.
Yes.
Make sure it's wrapped up.
Mm.
We get, y'all are so much more freer, I feel, in Africa than we are here in America. And I ain't mean to make that sound so long, but when we hear about you, but that's my feelings. PA, what do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's perks to both of those scenarios. The lack of paying taxes have led to a lot of import tax into African countries too. I mean, we try to send products over there and they get taxed very high because there's no other resources. So we got to learn to kind of find that balance. I want to ask a couple more questions before we get into your business. The country of France, in your opinion, what have the country of France done to the continent of Africa?
Oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start. Probably get in trouble for this, but I'm of the opinion that France has been pillaging. I think if we start looking at all the different colonial masters, it's just hard to sympathize, or not even sympathize, hard to tolerate what France does. The tax that a French-speaking country still pay to France up to this date. I really don't understand why that should be going on. They have their hands in almost everything, especially in the French-speaking African countries. They have their hands everywhere. most of the French-speaking African countries are doing relatively worse than English-speaking African countries. There's just a lot to throw. This would have to be a whole conversation. But yeah, France hasn't been helping the continent at all. And I strongly believe that, like most of the other European countries, they wouldn't be where they are if not of the continent of Africa. And we're not talking about the things that happened before. We're talking about the things that are still going on right now.
Right. If you think about what they're doing to Haiti right now with the burden, Haiti happened to pay for their freedom, which is crazy. And that burden is still there. And then what they're doing in Africa, France is still oppressing Black folks. While the international community praises Paris, they get what they want, but they're oppressing Black people all around the world. But it's rarely talked about. And then the other devil I want to talk about is King Leopold.
devil.
Yeah, you are in. You're from Central Africa. What did King Leopold do to the Congo, and how did it impact the continent?
Oh, the genocide, the people. It's such a. He went on a rampage, just destroying, pillaging, killing, maiming people. And it didn't matter who they were, whether they were kids, adults, women, it didn't matter. And I just still find it really painful that we talk about different genocides that have happened in the history of mankind. There's so many of them. But what pains me, what really hurts the most is more people were killed in the Congo than they were in the Holocaust. And still, we don't have as much information about that. We don't have as much information. We don't have any repercussions. We don't have anything happening. Yes, the Belgian leadership came out and said, acknowledged the things that the king, the horrible guy, had done. But that's nowhere near. That doesn't help anybody right now. We need reparations. We need all of the people who lost their lives, the people who lost their lands, the people who lost everything. It can't just go like that, because that's what has been happening with a lot of our African countries. People come, they do stuff, and then because they are all doing about the same thing, it doesn't really matter whether it's Belgium or France or which country you pick, they're pretty much doing the same thing. They sort of like have to have each other's backs in the process. But what we need now, we're done talking, this is what is happening. We need actions, and those would be reparations. That's what I think.
Last question before we get to your business. We get to the business part. And we 25 minutes, but this is very educational. Mm. And that's why we do this, not traditional radio and TV. We really talk about things. How hard is it for you to go to France from Cameroon, and how hard is it for you to come to America from Cameroon, in spite of the fact that America has oppressed countries, France has oppressed all of Africa, but how hard is it for you to get up and visit France from if you stayed in Cameroon?
If I stayed in Cameroon, it would be relatively easier to get into France. It's very coming to the US, like getting visas and all of that, is a little more competitive because we have way more people all over the world wanting to come to the United States, either for school or business or relocating for a better life. But France, big one, is closer, and so we have way more flights coming in as well. Because of the history, there's a lot more. It's easier to just to get a visa to go to France or fly to France for some business, because we still have those ties and they're very strong. So it's relatively easier, I would say, to go to France than to the United States.
But America, how hard was it? How hard would it be for someone from Cameroon? I'm saying this because there are like 30 plus countries.
Mm-hmm.
They're all white. That can get their visa to come to America. and the visa waiver program, and not a single country in Africa is part of the visa waiver program.
I don't really know any countries that allow, any European countries that have a visa waiver program for any African countries. If there is, then I don't know. I really don't. It's, I know it's hard for us to leave to go anywhere, because then you have, they want to know all of these things. Do you have property? Do you have land? Do you have, you have to really, really go out of your way to prove that you don't want to come and stay. Because that's the conception all the time, that you're running away from poverty and you just want to come stay here, and you will not be able to take care of yourself because you cannot afford insurance and all of those things. So they're very, very selective about who is brought out here. You have to come from, you have to be well to do this. You have to either be a celebrity or maybe you have connections here, like family. It makes that easier. But for an average African who can't afford a flight ticket, who needs to show that they can take care of themselves when they get here, and we're not talking about $5,000 or anything like that. It has to be something much that can justify you taking care of yourself. It's hard. It's almost impossible.
So you see these people at the border in Mexico, coming to Texas, and they letting these kids come over. Could you imagine if those kids was black, what the response would be in America? Because I just can't. I see them turning away Haitians and Jamaicans that might try to come here. But right now, if you're a kid and you come from Central America, they let you come in.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine if they were black, what would happen?
We have had, especially from Cameroon, given the conflict that we have, we've had a lot of people coming from Cameroon going through that route. And most of the, I wouldn't say most of them, some of them have died on the way just because of how precarious the whole journey is. Some have made it in, but we have had a lot of deportation. So even for people who have the rights, who are literally really fleeing for their lives in a conflict zone, where they're being hunted down and taken away, never to be seen again. That's what's happening in Cameroon. So because we have the conflict, the Cameroonian government is fighting separatists, English-speaking separatists, and it's a brutal, brutal, brutal war. It's not all-out war. It's more of a guerrilla war where you never know what's going to happen. Today might be a good day, and before you know it, a whole village gets burnt down. So you have people who are escaping. We have over 500,000 displaced people right now from the English-speaking parts of Cameroon. And most of these people, some of them make their way out and they are looking for a better life. We had a couple during the past administration, we did have a couple of deportations where we had many Cameroonians. So many of them were being taken back. And it was clear that they were definitely going to, they're not going to go relax somewhere. They're going somewhere painful. And you can just imagine what would happen to them. So, it still hurts to be a black refugee sometimes. Because you get to face all of this discrimination wherever you go. Really, it doesn't matter. You just, as you're black, it doesn't matter where you come from, even. Because when people don't like the black skin, they don't like the black skin.
There you go. Okay, so your company, Motherland Culture Connections, is online. You can learn how to cook African dishes. Explain why y'all leave the head on the fish. Talk about that for me. I know.
Yeah, explain nothing to me, because I can't do the head of the fish. PA be tearing that head up, like getting the eyes out of it, leaving the fat behind the eyes.
Why is that?
It is very important because we believe in not throwing away useful stuff. So we value the food we eat, and that means you eat every part of the food that you're given. And because we spice everything up so well and so nicely, it is frankly delicious. And what we do, just to give you an example of what we do in Cameroon with grilled fish, whole fish, we would eat the fish, head included, and then we would take the bones back to the chef, and they would add some more of the marinade, put it on the grill, and then it comes back really, really crunchy and delicious. It is like grilled in its own fat, and it's just amazing. But at the end of the day, nothing gets thrown away. It's a very important part of how we grow up. That gets drilled into you. You have to make use of every resource that you have.
Do you teach about like different ethics? How do you behave around your parents, the cultural things? Do you talk about that in your classes?
We do talk about that. It normally depends on where the conversation takes us, but we do talk about that. Growing up, you would hear stories from the chefs and the musicians, what it was like growing up, how you talk to your dad, especially maybe like even table manners, like what you do, what is not accepted, what is accepted. And it varies from one tribe to the other, even in the same country, not to talk of like the different countries.
So if a company is want to get some diversity training, you guys can help them out with these workshops that you offer, right?
Yes, we do. So not only diversity and inclusion, but team building events, dayaways, all those kind of days where you would want people to come together and live an experience together. But also it forces them to start seeing the differences. Because as we cook, we're asking each participant, when we bring up a point, they tell us what their experience was growing up around this same topic. So we get to learn a lot about each other as we go.
Okay. Also, you have a line of clothing.
Yes, we do. We do. We have we call it Afro Woke collection. And this is more just putting some nuggets there. The simple things like conversation starters. Africa is not a country. Let's start there. What do you feel about that? What do you think about that? You know? We put it out there, and then we get the conversation going.
That is cool. Okay. You got anything for fat guys?
We have stuff for everybody.
See how you tried to be nice about it.
We have stuff for everyone.
We have an online question coming from an artist, very good known artist, Car Carter said, "PA, I'm loving the conversation. Could you ask how does she feel about African Americans relocating back to Africa? What's the pros in the cons?" I don't know about the cons. I definitely know a bunch of pros.
That's another big conversation. I think it's something that needs to happen, because Africa, for such a long time, the way we've been portrayed in the media, it has not only turned other people off, but also turned many of our African-American brothers and sisters. But the way we move forward as a group of people, as a race, is by working together. There's so much, we have a lot that we can give, that we can teach, but you also have a lot that you can teach us. Having lived out here, having experienced all this, having experienced this really bad system of racism, if we come together with our experience of colonialism, how it helped, if at all it helped, and how it didn't help, if we come with all of this expertise and we get together to work, we can do amazing things. But what we need to start, I think we need to start with just the healing process of opening the conversation in the first place, because there's still a lot of hurt in there that hasn't been addressed. And I think once we start having these conversations and maybe having more people go even trace their DNAs and trace it back to their countries, just learning about the people, that would help us as a whole. It would help us a whole lot, because we have the resources we need, especially with the brain drain that's going on right now in Africa. We need more people going back to help develop the continent, and we cannot do it on our own. We need everybody on deck, because this is our motherland.
I got mine. I pulled mine up while we was talking. So I know I am 41% Nigerian.
Nice.
Fulani tribe, 15% Ghanaian, Liberian, and 5% Senegal, and the rest was spread out through West Africa. So I am 85% African, and the other 15% I'm not gonna talk about, Rob.
Well, at least you ain't gotta talk about 15%. My mama was white, so
right.
The whole half of what I am. The thing too, I wanted to say to you, Mirabelle, is that I think if Muammar Gaddafi was able to do what he was going to do, that was to unite, or try to unite Africa and their military forces.
Yeah,
I think Africa would be the biggest military force to be reckoned with. Yeah. Y'all want to kick France and the rest of them people out y'all countries? Mm-hmm. Unite as a military, unite as a government, like Muammar was trying to do. That's why they killed him.
Yeah,
now, in my opinion, they say it was his own people. No, it was people that they planted.
America,
this government and other governments planning, because they know if Africa comes together and stop fighting amongst each other, y'all would be a powerful continent to reckon with. United States, you can sit, what do we estimate, Paul, 3 or 4 United States into the continent of Africa?
No doubt. Yeah.
Okay, we got 300 million, 800 million, whatever we got here. Y'all got way more people than that.
Yeah.
If y'all just united the country, developed a military, a navy, a marines, a army, all that kind of stuff, y'all would be, y'all have Africans leaving this country, blacks leaving this country, going back there, you know, to Africa and helping develop that country a lot more. Then you do. Y'all don't even. All y'all money is different. You have CDs. What is it? PA CDs in South Africa, the Rand in Ghana.
They are working on that now. They are.
We are working on that right now. Yeah, and unfortunately, most of Central Africa still has have their currencies tied to the French franc. So that's part of where the problem is, because you have to drop all of that from it has to be like a multi assault on every direction people happening about the same time to make that difference.
I think we arrived at my last question, Mirabelle, and this is coming from Big Rob. He told me to ask you this. You told me. I got your inbox. You in Africa, we noticed in some tribes, men are allowed to have multiple wives.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like that in Cameroon?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? And why is that important?
It's important because generally, when you look at chores, just running the house, what it takes, the more hands you have on deck, the better. It just makes the work lighter for everybody. I, on the other hand, I will not get married to someone with multiple wives. I will not do that, but some people are comfortable with that. In some tribes, it's actually permitted. In the church, it isn't. But this has always been there in the African culture, where a man can marry several wives. It didn't start today. It had been there for as long as we can remember. The kings and the queens, the kings and chiefs, they would have a multiple wives. So it's a normal thing in our tradition. And the way it's done, there are structures in place, checks and balances, because the families marry together. You normally would have to ask your first wife before you get to marry and get her permission before you get a second wife. So it's for me, I'm just like, if it works for you, go for it. If it doesn't work for you, don't go for it.
You changed when you came to America and seen how it was here, but how was your thought about this before you came to America?
I've always thought that way, even back home. I come from the many families who just have a dad and a mom, but there are also many polygamous homes. And so there was never really, it was quite balanced. I have friends who come from polygamous homes and friends who are just like me from a monogamous home. And it's normal. We live normal lives. So we don't really focus on it as much because it has always been there. It's part of what is normal. So we don't make anything big out of it. Yes, if the family is poor, they're going to have issues. Because then you have too many heads and very little resources to feed them.
So it's monetary reasons why. It's monetary reasons mostly.
Yes, yes. And it was also important because we as Africans, we used to live from the farm or on the farm a lot, on the land. And the more kids you had, the more you could do with your land. And so that contributed also to riches and stuff like that. Now it's getting different as the world is developing, Africa is developing, people are having to get jobs, more office jobs. If you don't have, if you have too many kids and you're not able to feed them, what's the point? There's no pride in that anymore.
Wow. Rob didn't ask me the extra question.
I just think me personally with that, that came from Christianity.
Mm. Which part, Rob?
Having multiple wives and things that. You know, the one husband, one wife, that came all from Christianity. And that's the thing that I personally don't like about Africa. They took a hold of Christianity like they made us here in America take a hold of Christianity and lost their sense of religion. I was told there used to be a time where y'all worship the things you could see, touch, feel, smell, you know, all that kind of stuff, versus this, oh, there's a God in heaven and a devil in hell, you know. So I learned that from a Ghanaian.
The idea of God has always been, we've always been a people who believed in a higher being.
Yes, higher being. Yeah,
that higher being before it was not Jesus or the Bible or anything like that. It wasn't any of that. So it was kind of easier for the evangelists to come and then use that. It was an easier sell because it wasn't a concept that was completely far-fetched. Yeah. They just adapted it and brought it in. But we still have this thing today where we have people who do both. They're not able to leave the traditions because that is just who we are. So people practice both. They'll still stick with their traditional religious system, but they will still be Christians. So we have a lot of that going on. It's still a very, very important part of who we are. Especially since we're still so tied to our identities, our roots, which is our tribes, the land, it's kind of hard to separate, to really let that go. I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
Wow! Can we get you back?
I would love to.
you're not gonna charge us for the session, are you? It's not part of your curriculum right here, is it? You're not gonna charge us, are you?
I love the conversation. I love having these kind of conversations where we get to learn about each other.
Well, we got to do this again. Give out your website, if you don't mind. Again.
Yes, you can reach us on motherlandculturalconnections.com for all our experiences. But if you want specifically a cooking experience, you should go to motherlandcookingexperience.com, experience with an X.
All right. Thank you so much, my sister. Looking forward to talking.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Peace and blessings.
Yeah. God bless.